Good morning, everyone. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Man, I am glad because I was so looking forward to once again being found in the house of God with God's people, physically worshiping God and giving the glory due His name. So when Pastor Charles asked me to preach this morning, I couldn't help but think of the Psalm 122, where David shared that he was glad when they said to him, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." And this morning, that is the passage that we are going to be looking at. It's been 6 months, as Tim probably said 6 times today. It's been 6 months since we've met physically. Well, besides last week. It's been 6 months since we've met physically to worship God, together in worship. We've met online for most of the part, where we had to constantly remind ourselves that although we are meeting, this is not church. This is but a temporary solution to help us stay in contact and to help us stay under the preaching of God's word. But man, this is not church. David, in this psalm, is glad that, man, finally he can return to Jerusalem, the place where God had intended that his worship would be given, where sacrifices would be offered, the place appointed by God for worship. Finally, we can again go and worship in the house of God. So as David wrote Psalm 122, this psalm falls in a trilogy where the first two psalms David is writing as the nation is making their way up the hill to Jerusalem. Psalm 122 is the psalm that they would sing as they actually entered into Jerusalem to worship God, as they made it past the gates to give God worship. So the context here is important, because during David's reign, it was the tabernacle of Moses that was standing in the wilderness. It was a temporary place of worship that the nation Israel had constructed with God's specifications while they were wandering in the desert. And this tabernacle was to stand until the temple would be built by Solomon. But there was one problem with the tabernacle. You see, everything functioned as it should, but there was one important piece of furniture that was now missing in Moses' tabernacle. It was the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant, which brought with it the presence of God. So the Ark had been stolen away. If you read In the book of Samuel, the ark had been stolen away by the Philistines from Jerusalem. So the priest would enter into the Holy of Holies and he would find it vacant. So David had one great desire. And his one great desire was to live in the presence of God. Now, this was his motivation for organizing to have the ark recaptured and returned into its rightful place, the center of worship, which was Jerusalem. And this brings us to where we are, Psalm 122. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 122, and we'll start our reading from verse 1. That is Psalm 122. And we'll start our reading from verse 1. Verse 1 reads, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.' Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord." Verse 5. "There thrones for judgment were set, and the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, 'Peace be within you.' For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Let us pray. Oh Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can again meet together physically for worship. Thank you, Father, that we have gathered here as the body of Christ with you as the head. Thank you that you have saved our souls, Lord, from condemnation to sin. Thank you, Father, that it is your blood that washes our sins. So this morning we pray, Lord, that you would bring to surface, Lord, all that is hidden within our hearts, Lord, all our sins. We pray that by your Spirit, Lord, you'd bring it to surface. Convict us of sin and help us, Lord, to confess our sins before you, that, Lord, we may enjoy the forgiveness of God. Lord, we also pray that as we sit under the preaching of your word, that, Lord, you'd help us to listen attentively. I pray, Father, if we are distracted, that you'd remove any distraction that is keeping us from hearing you speak to us through your Spirit and through your word. I pray, Father, that today you will receive the glory and the honor due to your name. Lord, I plead with you that you'd use me as just an instrument in your hand. May I not be a distraction to your truth, but Lord, may I speak as you have prepared in my heart. And Lord, I pray that it will be your Spirit that is at work in the hearts of your people, convicting, encouraging, edifying them to seek to honor you and to honor you alone. Help us, Lord, to leave here seeing that indeed it is a joy to be found in the house of the Lord. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing I'd like us to look at this morning is the first point, a heart yearning for worship. A heart yearning for worship. In verse 1, we see it says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. David, as we know him, was a man who sought to honor God even from his youth. We know from where God was sending Samuel to go look for the next king of Israel. He says, go into the house of Jesse and bring to me the next king of Israel. All of David's brothers ticked all the boxes in the physical criterion, but they didn't make the spiritual. David made the spiritual criterion, as you know, in that verse in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, where as man looks at the outside, God looks at the inside of the heart. So as we've heard from the previous Sundays, as Pastor Charles has been taking us through Hebrews 11, we can note about David, that David's faith preceded his obedience. So from a glance in the Psalms, you will know that he loved to worship the Lord. For he knew who God is, he knew what God did, and he knew what God is still going to do. Something important to note is David. David was never to worship in the temple. In David's time, all they had was the tabernacle. And he's looking forward to the temple which would be built by Solomon. So he still has the expectation of that which is to come. But David, we can say, as we've heard about the other heroes of the faith, had a life-changing encounter with God. So from this passage, the psalmist is expressing a double joy when he's saying, I was glad. The first joy I want us to see is the joy in having the opportunity to once again worship God. He can revel in God's grace as they made their way up the hill to offer sacrifice for the atonement of their sins in the land promised by God. So he says there in verse 2, with gladness our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. You see, the Ark of the Covenant would travel with the nation after David and his army had recaptured it. And they would travel with the Ark of the Covenant till the place where it would rest in Jerusalem where God had promised. In Psalm 132, we read these words, for the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. Jerusalem was God's chosen land for his worship and for his dwelling among the nations. So this is why in this passage, it is a big deal to David. It is a big deal to David. He and the rest of the nation are finally in the land promised to God for worship and also for political rule. There's an element here of the now and not yet. Even as a church today, we can enjoy the now we are gathered together in Christ. We have the great privilege of having the Spirit of God now dwelling in our hearts. And therefore, it is because of this privilege we can gather together and enjoy the presence of God amongst us, which is something worth looking forward to as the church gathers. But then we also look forward to that day when we will behold the beautiful city, whose brilliance is like a very costly stone, as stone of crystal clear jasper. A city with high walls and high gates, symbolizing that there is safety and security now for all those the Lord has called, but also symbolizing that there are those who are going to be within the fold and there are those who are going to be outside. It is a city with no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. The temple is the presence of God. The city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb of God. That is Revelation 21. Oh, how I long for that day, where we will worship the Lord together in righteousness, free from the presence of sin. But whilst we wait, we can enjoy the presence of God in our hearts through faith. And when we gather together in the presence of his body, the church. So Pastor L. Martin shared these encouraging words. Think of it. This very globe, and I love to think of it in these terms, this very earth that has soaked up the blood of multitudes upon battlefields, this very earth where the grass is stained with innocent blood, this very earth that supports the footsteps of the tyrant and the lecher and the murderer and the thief. This very earth that supports the rebel activity of the multitudes of the unconverted. This very earth in which God Almighty is denied. This very air that surrounds us, that men breathe into their voice box and speak words of blasphemy and denial of God, that this very earth in its total life support system will be renovated by the fire of judgment at the return of Christ. And when he's through, every pinnacle, every atom on this earth and its support system will be permeated with nothing but righteousness. It will be the new heaven and the new earth, wherein righteousness and righteousness alone has its home. Amen. Amen. Isn't that something worth looking forward to? Amen. Churches, as pilgrims, we are pilgrims on this earth. And as pilgrims, we need to remember that, man, our citizenship is in heaven, as we see in Philippians chapter 2. Our lawmaker sits on the throne above, on the right hand of the Father. So as citizens of heaven, you need to be present when your fellow pilgrims gather together to encourage, to build up, to rebuke, to exhort one another to good works in this wicked world. So David's first joy was again having the ability to worship God in the land he had promised. David's second joy was to see the Lord's people eager to worship God. The question this morning is, do you wake up Sunday morning looking forward to seeing the people of God? Is the Lord's Day still the highlight, the high point of your week, that by Wednesday morning when you wake up, you're like, I can't wait for Sunday when again I'll be in the presence of the saints? Is that true for you? We know for the psalmist in Psalm 42, the psalmist shares his great sadness. It was almost as if he was in a great depression that he could not worship with the Lord's people and sit under the teaching of God's word. Man, it was a glorious day for him to see many people go up again to Jerusalem. And to hear them say, come all, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and man, we will follow his paths. So I also need to make a statement here. You will never get to a place of worshiping God if you do not understand the gospel. You will not get to a place of true worship and gratitude to God if you don't understand the magnitude of what he did on that day at Calvary. Because when you understand what he did and who he is, man, it brings about a brimming joy even in the midst of difficult circumstances. And this joy gets you to worship God even on your worst of days. So maybe you're here this morning and you've had your worst week yet. Probably this is our worst year yet. Maybe your company is not doing well. Maybe you lost someone whom you've loved dearly. You are nervous of contracting the virus. You are having car trouble. Your marriage is falling apart. A loved one has fallen ill. You are losing friends. People are reviling you. Man, you name it. The truth I want to bring this morning is that these things will not and must not stop you from worshiping God and being joyful and grateful because you remember that, man, I've been born again and I am a child of the Good Shepherd. This truth will lead you to a lifelong joy and a lifelong gratitude as you remember day after day after day that, man, I'm saved and I am being sanctified. Do you know this? Praise the Lord, we have been redeemed. My company's not doing well, but praise the Lord, I have been redeemed and God is in control. I've lost a loved one, but praise the Lord, I am saved and God is still sitting on the throne. You're nervous about contracting coronavirus, but praise the Lord, I am saved and God is in control. Is this true of you? One of Spurgeon's favorite quotes notes, my dear friends, even when your grief presses you to the very dust, worship there. A lot has happened in the past 6 months of lockdown. And if we understand scripture and if we understand the course of history, a lot is still going to happen. But friends, the Lord remains the same. He remains faithful, he remains loving, he remains true. So friends, let us get back to what is essential, the worship of God in the house of God. But there's another element I want us to consider from this passage. I want you to think for a second that you might have a child or a loved one or a really close friend who you have been faithfully praying for that God must save. This person blatantly rejects God and his commands and chooses to serve the world and its lusts. You find yourself day after day trying to share this person to the gospel, exposing them to the gospel and to the church, exposing them to the grace of God in your life, and exposing them to the mercy of God in their life. And yet they still don't show interest. You fear that one day you'll receive that call that says, hey, this person whom you love so dearly has passed away without knowing the Lord, and now they'll have to face the righteous judge as a sinner who's been condemned already. But that day doesn't come. But then you wake up one morning and hear this person come to you and say, hey, my friend, let us go to the house of the Lord. Can you imagine the joy that will fill your heart? The other element of gladness here is that David has seen the nation Israel forsake God. David himself knows from firsthand how it feels to grieve God in sin. And now he hears his stiff-necked brothers say to him, brother, let us go to the house of the Lord. David is glad because he's witnessing the same grace working in his heart, working in the life of the nation. And that's why he responds with this song, saying, I was glad when I heard them say to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So David's heart was in the worship of God. And he was delighted when he found others inviting him to go where his desires had already gone. But I also want us to know that it is a sign of spiritual ill health when you're not there in the assembling of the saints. You see, David's flaws are well documented in the scriptures. But we can also see from the scriptures that when he was flourishing in his walk with the Lord, he loved the people of God. Notice in Psalm 16, he says, preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. O verse 3, as for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. You see, David's love for God overflowed in his delight for the children of the Lord. By this example, we are taught that our joy in like manner should be doubled when God, by his Spirit, not only frames each of us to the obedience of his word, but also produces the same effort upon others that, man, we may be united together in the same faith. So David here takes delight in the company of those who bring him to the service of God and offer themselves to him as friends as they go to the sanctuary together. I earnestly pray that we too want to delight to seeing God's people gather together in the house of God to worship God. Because this is what God has decreed. And we see it in our second point, a worship decreed by God. Verse 3 says, Jerusalem built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. See now, David is awestruck that he is finally there. It is as beautiful as God had told him it would be. So David is marveling as the tribes gather together to journey up the hill to worship God. Almost as if David was standing up here and he sees the people walking into the sanctuary and he's just so glad and marveling that, man, all these people have gathered here this morning to worship God. Paul Tripp shared in a sermon that worship is an identity before it is a service or activity. You see, God had decreed that all of his creation would worship him above all else. So in reality, if you are not worshiping God, you are worshiping something or someone else. Something or someone else has the allegiance to your heart. So you might be trusting in the security of some earthly thing over the God of the universe. I want us to listen carefully to the truth about sin. Sin hates the truth of God and it suppresses it. And it exchanges it for what sin loves and worships. Sin loves to worship and serve the creature and not the creator. That's the root of sinning. The flowering of dishonorable passions in the world with all their desires has root. And the root is that sin hates the truth about God and worships and loves all God substitutes. So God would warn the nation of giving in to this sin. As they left Egypt and they were heading to the promised land in the wilderness, he would give them 10 commandments. And the first few of those commandments inscribed in the tablets of stone writes, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other God. You shall not make for yourselves a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. So the truth is, it's only when we remember that I belong to Jesus, that my identity is deeply rooted in Jesus, that I am a slave of righteousness, then my worship will reflect my belonging to God. You see, my body, my family, my house, my job, my strength, my life, my all belongs to God, and giving it back to him, that is worship. When I realize that, man, nothing belongs to me, but that all that I own has been given to me by God to use for his glory. So this understanding of my identity in Christ, my belonging to God, will lead me to, as God has decreed, give thanks to the name of the Lord in worship. So the truth is, we live in a world where we all want things to go exactly as we have planned. And we only turn to God when it's a 911 emergency. And once God has led us through that storm, or once God has answered that 911, we turn right back to the very things that consume our attention away from God. So this morning, friends, we have an opportunity to start afresh. This season that God has led us through, he has given us an opportunity to repent and to change our ways. As we have gone into level one, the temptation is to go back to filling our schedules to what they used to be. Going back to what we understood as normal. Forgetting the spiritual strides you might have made during lockdown, or forgetting God's mercy and lessons he taught you during isolation. Going back to making excuses that clamp you away from the house of God and the worship of his name. Or maybe even returning to the Sunday service and being once again a pew filler versus endeavoring to be more, to do more for God and the church. Because you know from Scripture that the church is important, and the church is not this building, but the church is the people gathered here. And I want to do more for the people. So this morning I have an appeal. My appeal this morning is, please, won't you examine your heart? What do you need to change in your attitude about the church of God? Do you understand that this is the family that God has called you to? What will you do better now to worship God as He has decreed? To love as God has commanded, to serve out of an overflowing heart of gratitude for all the mercy and grace that God has shown you. A hymn writer penned these words: "We who come to the church and its public worship are charmed to come to the throne of God and to the grace of the reigning Savior. He reigns. Ye saints, exalt your strains. Your God is King. Your Father reigns. He is at the Father's side, the man of love, the crucified. This is the God whom we serve. And He has decreed that we worship Him together in the house of God." Which leads me to my last point this morning: a peace that overflows worship. Verse 6 to 9 says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good." David, in this section, wonders if the people are experiencing the same peace and the same joy that he felt when he entered into Jerusalem, the place for God's worship. The peace that David is writing about here is that very understanding of what great a sacrifice God gave to bring peace to all who believe. The nation would go up the hill to sacrifice a lamb that would be without blemish to atone for their sins. We know that God in Christ would be the lamb that takes away the sin of the world, and the sacrifice brings about a peace with the Father and a peace on earth. Romans 5 verse 1. So David here prays for those who love God and are secure in God. Those who take deep interest in the church and the cause of Christ, these are men of peace, and they find peace in their quest to Christ-likeness. God's people are to pray for these people, and God Himself delights in them. So again this morning, for us to examine, do we have a deep concern for the church of Christ? Are you concerned about the kingdom work? Are you concerned about the cause of Christ? Are we concerned that there are many who still do not know this peace? This peace is the joy and rest found in being aligned with God's will. Worshiping God with our lives and living in community of believers is what God has willed for His church. We have unfortunately come from a season that caters or that feeds to a consumeristic mentality. You could choose which service you wanted to watch and what sermon you wanted to listen to. And to be honest, that is going to make it harder for many people to actually go back to the physical meeting of the church. Are you telling me that I can't stop, that I have to stop watching the sermon in my pajamas? Are you telling me that I can no longer choose the best time to watch the service? Are you telling me that I can't fast forward the parts that I do not like to get to the parts that I actually like in the service? Are you telling me that I can't enjoy the worship of another church and then come to Central to listen to the sermon? Friends, the truth I'm bringing this morning is that true worship will always lead to true community. As you grow to love God, you will grow to desire being in the presence of His people. As I said in a previous sermon, that a genuine love for God will lead to a genuine love for others. And we see in verse 8, it says, "For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace within you." What the psalmist is actually saying is that when the church flourishes within, it impacts those without. So if I'm not loving others, the truth is it is first and foremost a reflection of my heart's failure to love God. If I love God and have Him as chief of my heart, then man, I will care for you, whoever you are. I will care for you, I will love you, because I love God. And essentially, we'll get to the place where we are glad to once again be found in the house of the Lord. So again, are you glad to see your brothers in Christ in the house of the Lord? Are you eager to see the saints of Christ when they gather? Are you so caring that when a fellow brother or sister is absent from the gathering, that man, you just want to call them, you want to visit them, to see what's wrong, to love them, to care for them, and eventually get to that point where you're like, well, brother, you okay now? Let us go to the house of the Lord. What I love about David is that David was not annoyed or bothered that people actually came to him and said, "Let's go to the house of God." Instead, he was pleased by being pressed to attend holy services. He was glad to go into the house of the Lord, glad to go in holy company, glad to find good men and good women willing to have Him within their community. Church, the truth is God loves the gathering of His saints. He delights in the assembly of the church, His bride for whom He died. Psalm 87 verse 1 says, "On the holy mount stands the city He formed. The Lord loves the gates of Zion even more than the dwelling places of Jacob." So this morning we've seen that we are to have a yearning, a strong desire to worship God ourselves, starting with our hearts, having faith in God, and that faith leading us to obedience. Then we note that God Himself has decreed that we obey Him. We serve Him in giving ordinances in His house, worshiping God in the house which He has prepared. Just to clarify, this morning I'm not promoting this building, because the house of God is the people of God. God has called you to His people. Secondly and lastly, if we can do nothing else, we are to intercede for His bride. Our covenant relationship to Jehovah as our God binds us to pray for the people of God. For they are indeed the house of the Lord. So won't you again return and be glad to be in the house of the Lord? Because the truth is we have been called to live for God's cause, and we have been called to be ready to die for it as well. Psalm 26 verse 8 as I close. "O Lord, I love the habitation of Your house and the place where Your glory dwells." Lord Jesus, we thank You that, Lord, we can gather like this because of Your supreme sacrifice on that cross. Lord, we came before You as those who were dead in their trespasses and sins. God, we deserved nothing but the wrath of God. But in Your mercy, in Your grace, You saved us and called us to be part of Your body with Christ, our head. Oh, Lord, we are glad. Lord, make us glad to worship you. Teach us to love one another, Lord, even when it's difficult. Lord, teach us to want to give in service to your name. Lord, teach us to die to ourselves daily. Oh, God, won't you give us once again a yearning every week to say, oh, I cannot wait to once again be found in the house of God, worshiping God with his people. Lord, if there's any one of us here this morning, Lord, who in our hearts we've seen that, Lord, we haven't been committed to your people. God, we've been comfortable to come to attend the building, to come listen to the sermon and then quickly rush off to go home. But I pray this morning that you would teach us to not just come to attend the building, but to come to fellowship with the saints, to worship with your body, to be found loving your people. Why? Because, God, we love you. So we pray that you do a great work in our hearts. I pray this morning that, Lord, your word will not return void, but that, God, you by your Spirit would do a mighty work in our hearts, and you'd lead us, Lord, to that place of sincere worship as you have decreed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.